This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Mark?
Hi there, Dave.
Well, the Industrial Bank Building, the Bank of America Building, the Superman Building, all titles for the iconic office building in downtown Providence that's now vacant. What to do with it? We're going to talk about that with Grow Smart Rhode Island Executive Director Scott Wolf. Grow Smart is a nonprofit that works for sustainable growth locally. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks.
I wanted to go back a little bit, and before we talk about the building, what do you think is the future of large office buildings in general? Are they becoming dinosaurs?
I don't know if they're becoming dinosaurs, but I don't think they're as much of a panacea or near panacea as they used to be. And I think part of that is the changing nature of business in America, the people seemingly working in smaller units and people working remotely, using the internet and all. So I don't think it's as easy a model to market as it used to be, but I think there still is a place for it.
Isn't that also a more sort of sustainable model, though, to have the, you know, for density, for that urban density,
yes,
to have larger buildings?
It is, absolutely.
So and it's something that it would be good to have,
yes,
even though the trend seems to be pushing toward ex-urban office parks.
Well, I don't think the trend is towards ex-urban office parks.
No.
I definitely didn't mean to imply that. No, I think the trend is towards companies located in funky, rehabbed historic buildings rather than maybe new modern skyscrapers. You look at United Natural Foods. They moved from sort of a suburban setting in Connecticut to the American Locomotive Works in Providence because they wanted, and their employees wanted, that kind of a setting. And so we have a lot of that kind of historic fabric that to market to the outside world. And I think we spent too much time in the last several decades marketing our greenfield sites, which are few and far between and expensive, as opposed to marketing more aggressively our historic buildings in funky urban neighborhoods where we have a competitive advantage. God forbid we actually focus on something where we have a competitive advantage.
So what to do with the Superman building? The owner is talking about a mix of apartments and shops there in Kennedy Plaza. Is that a realistic proposal?
I think it may well be a realistic proposal. I think there's large demand in the downtown Providence market for apartments. Most of the apartment buildings in downtown Providence are at or near 100% capacity. So this is not a outlandish in any way approach. I guess the challenge is how much can the state and the city afford to put into such a venture. But I don't think it's a pie in the sky, 38 studios kind of proposition. I think it's much, much more grounded in reality and in current market conditions and current demographic trends.
So, Scott, while the rents have been rising, even as home prices have been falling, rents have been rising, showing that the rental market is, in fact, pretty vibrant. The Industrial Trust Tower requires a lot of work. I mean, they had one tenant for a long time. There's actually only one heating zone in that entire 26-story building.
Yes. Yeah.
So, we're talking about the need for extensive work, probably even more than what you might have had in some of the mill rehabs like the American Locomotive Works or the Hope Artiste Village in Pawtucket. So the real question becomes, what's the return on investment for public investment in a situation like that? And is it going to be enough to justify getting into it?
It's I don't have an easy answer for that. I do think that it's very important that we reestablish the state historic tax credit so that we can continue to bring online more of our historic building stock for reuse. Because, as I said before, I think that's a competitive advantage for us, and we ought to take full advantage of that asset. But I don't think the state leaders have the appetite for an unlimited historic tax credit program. And if that's the case, then I don't think that the Superman building can get through state historic tax credits all of the aid that it's indicating it would like from the state. I think there's going to have to be some other ways to try to make this thing work beyond just relying on a new state historic tax credit program.
Is there a way, a practical way, to take that building section by section and develop it that way as you get funding rather than a massive project?
Well, I would hope so, and I would think so. And no less an authority on real estate than Nick Ritsinas, who was recently the until recently was the head of the Center on Housing and Urban Studies at the Kennedy School. He suggested that one at least interim step might be for the effort of the Superman building revitalization to focus on just the ground floor initially, so that at least part of the building doesn't remain vacant for a long period of time. And then work our way through other aspects of it. Now that's certainly not ideal, but it's better than having a totally vacant building for perhaps a couple of years. An iconic building in the middle of downtown Providence.
Perhaps like Union Station in Washington D.C., a main area becomes a restaurant, the lobby, perhaps.
Yeah, it could very well be that kind of a resource.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, and our guest is Grow Smart, Rhode Island Executive Director Scott Wolf.
Scott, do you think the plans that have been put forward for Kennedy Plaza have an effect on this, on, you know, the redevelopment of this building?
Well, they might, and I think that the proposed reuse of the building primarily for residential activity, I think, fits in with the plans for Kennedy Plaza. In fact, a residential reuse of the Superman building might be more convergent with the plans for Kennedy Plaza than office use, or at least as convergent.
Why is that?
Well, because what I think a lot of leaders in the community are trying to do with Kennedy Plaza is make it more of a public gathering place and a place that would be utilized at night as well as during the daytime, and that would be perceived to be safer than it is right now. And so if you have 24/7 living right beside Kennedy Plaza, and people are walking around the area at all times of day and night, and are a receptive audience for entertainment at night, then that means Kennedy Plaza as an entertainment center could have more legs than otherwise. Kennedy Plaza could become more attractive just by dint of having all these people living nearby and using the neighborhood on a regular basis. I'm not saying office wouldn't work for Kennedy, wouldn't be compatible with Kennedy Plaza plans either.
The developers of the Arcade building had a target clientele in mind when they redeveloped that building.
Appears like it's been a masterful calculus by them based on the long waiting list they have for their apartments, and they've leased most of their retail space.
A lot of folks are interested. So who would be the target clientele for a revamped Superman building to live there?
I think if it's primarily residential, I think the clientele are aging baby boomers like me. I'm not putting down any money on an apartment, but you have this graying of America phenomenon where you have a lot of people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s who are still very healthy and active, but they don't want to mow a 2-acre lawn, and they don't want to drive 20 miles to go to some cultural event, and they plus younger people who are not coupling up as early in life as they used to, and who don't want to be in a suburban sort of state environment when they're young and restless. So you have sort of both ends of the age spectrum that I think are obvious targets.
Okay, we've been looking at the potential for the vacant Superman building right in the middle of downtown Providence. We've been doing that with Grow Smart Rhode Island Executive Director Scott Wolf. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
As always, thanks to Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Great to be here, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.